Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to AMC Press & Co. We welcome you whether you're on planet Mars. This means aliens can hear us. Brilliant! We wondered where those came from. We were all talking about it in the office. Short notes. Very quickly before we begin, we are an affiliate of Blog Talk Radio Network. We would like to express the views and opinions of the hosts are not shared with any affiliates or sponsors. View discretion is advised.
Ah, yes, and welcome to another edition of AMC Press with Michael, Johnny, and Allison.
Yes,
and this edition is 456. Which is entitled The Toys Are Back in Action and More. And this episode is sponsored by Earlier to Work, a Resident Day. Where feeling good isn't your job. More on that later. And, well,
thank goodness it's warm outside.
And thank goodness it's spring. Jesus.
Finally.
When I thought you know, winter was not going to end and we were going to get snow polar bears down the Thames River. Honestly, it's exactly what I felt. But
on with the ship.
Where can you find us? Well, you can find us at itsyos.com/AMCPress and on Zazzle shopping for us at AMC Press Talk Shop, and on our Twitter handles, and AMC Press 31 and AMC Press News, and on Facebook at AMC Press & Co. Please, go there. Chat with us. And we would be more than willing to respond. And our first segment of the night, Toy Story 4 will not continue the plot of Toy Story 3. What?
What?
Yeah.
What?
It's called, I have no idea what they're going to try to do, but
what?
It's going to end up, yeah.
What? Are they trying to pull something that is called non-linear storytelling?
Toy Story 4. We're going in a different direction.
Yeah,
we'll
make it so the toys are actually pieces of meat.
Why don't we make it like Home Alone 3?
Yeah, or 4.
Completely change everything and fail at try.
Or Home Alone 4.
Or Home Alone 5.
Or Home Alone 5, the transition when Macaulay Culkin finally realized he wasn't Richie Rich or Kevin Nealon anymore.
It's like all the actors and...
Yeah, right? It was sure great. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, they're saying that we're putting together a very nice story, and it's not a continuation of the end of Toy Story 3. Temporarily, but it will be a love story. It will be a romantic comedy. Right. Much like Brokeback Mountain. Except in space. You know... I can see this happening. That's Toy Story 4 will have a different slant and isn't a total surprise when Pixar announced plans for the film last year. Director John Lasseter, who directed the first two Toy Story films, said that he was most excited about the project's new direction. The new direction of Brokeback Mountain being retold in animation. Now, but Lasseter said, when Andrew Stanton, Doctor, and Lee Okoridge came up with this new idea, I couldn't just stop and think about it. It was so exciting to me, I knew we had to make this movie and I wanted to direct it myself.
Okay.
All the Toy Story kids as Brokeback Mountain. You know.
Brilliant.
Yes, two gay cowboys and Buzz Lightyear dressed up as a gay cowboy.
Winning!
You know. Lasseter brought in like, Peter Jones and Will McCormick to co-write the Toy Story 4 script, and they had such a great sense of character and originality. I wanted to get a strong female voice for writing this.
Okay.
Okay. I'm officially lost for words.
What? Here's to hoping it don't end up with Chappie.
Oh.
I haven't seen Chappie, so I wouldn't know.
Two words. Rapping robot.
Rapping robot?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Let's just say it didn't do too good at the box office this weekend, despite being number one. Like, what, 12 million?
Okay, when did it come out?
Just came out this weekend.
Okay.
Okay. But, yeah, let's just go down the line. Okay? Let's go down the line of Toy Story characters. How do we not make it a,
kid?
A kid Brokeback Mountain.
I don't know. I honestly don't.
I mean, if we know what, if we know exactly what Brokeback Mountain is about, in layman's terms, about two cowboys who discover a love connection between each other. Which is not that different from a cowboy and a spaceman.
For his horse.
Or what?
Or his horse.
Cowboy or his horse.
Or his horse. Trying
what?
To...
What? Ergo
Brokeback Mountain. Or Blowback Mountain, if you really want to make a porno out of it. You know, kind of thing. I mean, you know, who would Jesse be fucking with? Mrs. Potato Head?
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Or which would leave Mr. Potato Head to fuck Ham?
Yeah, no.
Oh, my.
Which wouldn't make much sense in the plot,
hey.
Because then they would have to consider Rex.
Hey, baked potatoes and bacon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah, yeah. Baked potatoes and bacon, but then it would be baked out of the film, if you get my drift. I mean, baking that out of the film would imply that they put it into a 150-degree oven, turn it on high, and say, and while all of them are saying, wait, don't melt us yet! It's getting hotter and hotter and hotter, like a spring-summer breeze in summer.
Spring-summer breeze in summer?
Kind of, you know. And they're getting more sweaty and sweaty and sweaty. Oh, wait, I'm imagining the porno film of Where has this broadcast gone? Anyway, you know, honestly.
No, he didn't.
Oh yes, I did. I just took it back. But yeah, the other thing is how in the world would you have, you know, Pixar, a family-friendly film company, advertising this movie?
Gay lover. It's the Brokeback Mountain toy. As much we support, it's like it would be the LGBT friendly Toy Story.
No. The LGBT friendly Toy Story would be clandestine with a shitload of sex toys.
Yeah.
You know,
not so kid friendly.
Rubbers, magic balls, maybe too many balls. And they'd have to watch Jesus turn water into wine.
That would make things interesting.
But then they would have to create a Toy Story 5. Where have all the toys gone for Lent? Toy Story Lent.
Toy Story 5. Mm. Where have all the cowboys gone?
Right. Where have all the cowboys gone? Or where have all the Lent? Where's all the bread gone? Where is it? Where is it now? Okay, fine. Okay. You know, kind of thing. I mean, what do you think, Allison?
Well, I myself don't know what to think. It could either go like the Santa Claus, or it slowly went downhill,
yeah.
Which I would not. I think hands down it might. High chance to. Because of the fact that it will be needed.
Needed in what sense?
It could either go really, it won't be needed, but it may not be intended to go bad, from bad to worst either.
Well, I mean, if it goes bad to worst, then we don't have much to actually go on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And since there's a little bit of information, that doesn't really provide much either.
Right.
That's as
exactly.
Bad as going. Is it going to be good? Is it going to be bad?
Only time will tell.
Yeah.
Only time will definitely tell.
And I hope it's good, because there's a lot of people who will be disappointed.
Well, tons of people. You know, tons of people in terms of tons of people, and just in terms of how much shit will be flop, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How much shit will be flung? And then.
And.
And then. how much you go and you don't say anything and hoping that it died away.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Hoping that they don't come up with Brokeback Mountain Toy Story.
Oh, right.
Edition.
Edition. Exactly.
Yeah, that would be bad. That would be extremely bad.
It would be
terrible.
Horrible. Terrible. Maybe even contract breaking, studio ending, hilariously bad. In every sense of the word. You know. One. The toys would basically speak differently. And little kids, the merchandise sales would go down. Not down, but they'd go up depending on which whom they cast. You
right.
know. If they went back to Tom Hanks and said, can you play gay? Tom Hanks would probably go immediately back to Philadelphia and said, yes, I can play gay, only if there were gay men around. No intent to Tom. On that one. But,
yeah.
But anyway, I mean, I honestly wish they would change it, you know. If it's going to be a love story, it better be a damn good love story. You know, you got to have somebody, something in there. That's the one thing I'm trying to say, is that we here sincerely hope it doesn't get marriage-ruiningly bad for some apparent reason. The timing doesn't get fucked up, for example.
Right.
Kind of thing. That's all. That's all we're saying, right?
Yeah.
So, at least that's all we think we're saying. You know, you can have your own interpretations, guys. Everyone out there who's listening. At the same time, we have other news to get to, so let's get to
yes.
it. Slate and people with disabilities shouldn't be defined by their technology.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I still.
What's your opinion on it?
I say that people shouldn't be defined about what technologies they have because it's all meant to help them, not hurt them. Just to do that, help. So, it kind of becomes an issue of if someone is being judged or being treated differently because, you get assistive technologies, it's called helping. It's called making sure that people benefit and are able to grow and progress.
Well, growing and progressing is definitely um,
is definitely something that is needed. Growing brand is something that is needed. However, the age, it shouldn't matter whether you use a tablet or whatnot to access your information. It shouldn't matter in terms of what you get information, how you get information. It should matter how what you do with it, you know?
Yeah.
They're saying we struggle whether to control it or whether the latest technology, by extension of those who develop, market, and sell them, really control us. Well, if they control you and you're consistently looking at your iPhone or iPad or your fucking Mac, then that's sad. And I think the general debate, I mean, Johnny, you tell me, Allison, you tell me, or, you know, is that it's, well, most of these debates have been generally ignored with people with disabilities. Well, people with disabilities are the ones using them.
And benefiting.
From, you know. Exactly.
Rather successfully being able to use assistive technologies. I think those are judging us. They're probably jealous that, oh, yeah, you...
I wouldn't say jealous. I would say that they neurotypicals... Right, but...
They will be jealous more so than anyone else, those that are not getting the use of the
technologies out there, or it's difficult for them to get certain technologies. So they could jump and go, oh, no, blah, 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 it's this. Oh, we want to get
after everybody else 2 years too late. You know, I kind of think that 2 years too late, okay. But
I think if there's a reason, if there's a reason for them to get it, guess what? Then, hey, we're not stopping you. Get it if you
need
it.
Well, we're not stopping you, but when people with disabilities are the most active in technology,
yeah,
and they're not telling you that, then there's something wrong.
Yeah.
With that. And, I mean, yes, they're trying to make this article seem like it's not actually hurting people.
It could also come off like, oh, we're going to just constantly assume and make assumptions when...
you know, they're saying that who have lowered the welfare then also lowered the welfare of other individuals who might have been born in their place. Meaning that, you know, there's a forthcoming article in the American Journal for Bioethics by Robert Sparrow, a professor at Monash University in Australia, that makes a philosophical argument that even if genetically diverse people were genetically diverse, somehow we could be proven that a collective individual benefit to a generally perfect humanity, such diverse should not include the lives of people with significant disabilities.
I could agree.
I'm going to chew you out for 2 seconds. What the fuck do you mean?
I agree. Being chewed out, I agree with being chewed out, because it's like, say what? It's like gibber.
How old are you?
Yeah.
Second off, you're quite.
You are quite pompous. You look quite pompous. And you're an associate with a BA, honors BA, and a PhD at that, who's written plenty of articles about enhanced rat race, egalitarian moral bioenhancement, generally eugenics, making better babies, vitro eugenics. Oh, now we can see why you actually did it. Then there's the one of Just So You Know the Drones in September 2012, and then also the one in 2011, Not So New Eugenics, on human enhancement. Oh, and then the best one of all, which I haven't read. None of these I've read yet. I'm just going off just the titles alone because they're fucking priceless. You know, should human beings have sex?
Wow.
Do you think we're all apes? If you do, contact us at AMC Press. contact.amcpress@gmail.com. I mean, honestly, and we will curse you out. Like, you have no idea. Then there's another one called Killer Robots, and then in September of 2006, trust us, we're doctors.
Oh, brilliant.
So,
I don't know, maybe you somehow.
And these are just the third journal article. And by the way, there is his email. And, you know, my current research areas may be found here. Well, let's say you pompous twat, about your current research. The pre-implementation genetics diagnosis and disability critique, the human name, they all sound pretty damn similar, you know. The environmental ethics, the liberal communication debate, the media ethics, the historical injustice. Wow, you're really dry, aren't you? I mean, fucking sicko. I mean, really, the political philosophy of anarchism. Say what? You know, organ transplants and xenotransplantation. Oh, right. So basically, you know, transplanting organs out of humans. You really must hate the earth, don't you? I mean, cohesive implants and death culture. Do I need to go on?
I mean, do I need to go on? Like, you prat.
Like, let us enjoy our technology, okay?
Exactly, you fucking prat. I mean, you fucking wanker. I mean, really, how do you sleep at night? How must you sleep at night? Sideways or wait, upside down?
Ever since I got a Facebook, it changed my frickin' life.
Obviously!
It's opened many, many, many doors.
But wait, Starrow is constructing a narrow argument in response to the well-known 2012 paper by Fenner's disability scholar Rosemary Garland Thompson, entitled The Case for Conserving Disability. And then it says something about non-neurotypicals or non-disabled people? Let's just say,
wow.
As non-disabled people, most of us assume that technology only enhances qualities that we already have. Speed, strength, quick thinking, fast communication, attractiveness. Really? Okay. Although, to tell anyone, you know, although taken aback after meeting someone else online whose dating profile is just no picture, yeah, so that when it comes to disabilities, we are habitually a mistake of function, walking, breathing, seeing, speaking, and for identity, what's worse yet, worth.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sorry, can I fart in your general direction, or do I have to make you, do I have to stick a catheter up you?
Do you have to go and play scientist for a day?
Maybe I have to bug Bill Nye, or even Stephen Hawking, because Stephen Hawking would actually be all on this shit so perfunctory, so badly.
I think Stephen Hawking would be quite upset too, especially since he has his own thing, his own disability too.
I mean, who are you to judge? Oh, wait, you're probably a neurotypical professor. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Because you're so jealous that, you know, just so jealous that we actually have these special abilities. And it's not even special abilities. It's really the underlying understanding that we're all human.
Human beings and...
Lord, goddammit, and if you can't accept that, that's why you got into neurogiant whatever in the first place.
Yeah. Probably did.
And I bet he drives a Prius.
Probably does.
Probably drives a Prius. Like, oh, I'm so fancy the Prius. Not.
Yeah, or I'm so into the Prius, or I'm so into gas gasoline, it's not even funny.
Like, my car gets 100 miles to the gallon.
And? What's your fucking problem, Mr. Gusman?
Oh, what?
You know, it's called and. It's called so what?
Oh, you know, good for you.
It's called,
I mean,
so
really?
What? It's called so what?
It is called, it's called really? Really? You know, in defense of, you know, conserving disability. Jesus Christ.
It's called, please, could you give us a break for all for everything that I do. To respect fuel. Or wait, she probably doesn't know that. About that.
I mean, it is literally one of those things that, I'm sorry, I don't get. I mean, what in the world, you know, so much prejudice coming out of this guy.
Yeah.
It's incredible, you know.
It's sad. It's called Disability Act. It's called ABLE Act. It's called ADA. It's called...
Yeah, but those things exist around the world.
Yeah.
But it's even more ridiculous that when you have more shit to say, maybe you should look at your own, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And not disguise it as research.
Right.
I mean, I feel like calling this guy and basically saying, and spitting him out.
That would make things interesting.
I mean, what time is it in Australia, by the way, right now? Just out of curiosity.
Daytime. Probably.
Is it really?
Yeah.
If we discussed, you know, basically,
what? Let's see.
It's probably about
10 o'clock. No, 1:38 in Sydney. In the afternoon.
Oh, it's 1:38 in Sydney. Well, since our show is about an hour, we'd probably chew this guy unbeknownst to him live on air. Out.
Yeah.
Question is, do we save it? Or do we actually attempt to Skype him?
Oh, but I was thinking of Perth, Australia, 10:38 a.m.
Oh, so probably right before the day gets started. Before he has to go into work.
Yeah, do we want to get an answering machine and Skype it? Or? Because I really want to see this guy out.
We can ruin his Tuesday.
Yeah.
I want to. I'm trying to hold back because we have to do the rest of the show.
Yeah.
I mean, really, my mind is going between the show and calling him.
Right. Red Hood being like Miley Cyrus coming in like a wrecking ball.
A wrecking ball? Oh, God. A wrecking ball.
Yeah.
No. Not even.
No,
fucking wrecking
no.
ball.
I'd maybe a bulldozer.
I'm stronger than that.
What? Bulldozer?
Like a Category 5 hurricane.
Oh, yes. Fuck yes. Oh, fuck yes. Question is, should we do it? I mean, I still have my Skype on. Last words. You could. You could always see what happens live on air. You could always play it's a wrong number, so oops. The oops.
Oops. Oh no.
I mean, I am so pissed off. I mean,
you could always say you got the wrong number.
Okay, do we have to
dust off one of those old rant rockets from way back when?
Right.
Just keep it in storage.
Right. Yeah, do we have Roadrunner? I mean, sorry, Wile E. Coyote?
Long gone.
All right, Allison, do you have any Skype connection live on there? If I were to do this,
As long as you have your whatever equipment you have near it, we could hear. You need to take it off your. If you have a headphones, you'll need to have to either A, have it on speaker. Because it's kind of neat to be.
Have it on speaker?
Yes. Have your phone on speaker. Do so. Yeah.
Okay. Here goes nothing.
Yes.
Here goes nothing, guys. I mean, here goes nothing, really. So, you know what? Instead of cursing him out on air and ruining his Tuesday, or ruin his hump day.
Okay.
Because that will be more violating. Because he deserves it. Because he's a twat. With an email.
Huh. Right.
And he has a philosophy, too.
Okay.
So, okay, on with the show.
Yes.
On with the show before I get very pissed and actually end up calling me.
Maybe you would just want to call him.
I think I'll do it after air. Now anyway.
Or not.
One of my favorite people. Okay. Disability portrayed honestly, must be portrayed honestly. Liz Carr, who is formerly a on the Ouch Bridal Station, Ouch podcast on the BBC before they went out, is a disabled performer in the UK. Also, is Lisa Hammond, who regularly on TV making a big difference. challenging assumptions, both believable in the characters they play and how the BBC is clearly proud to showcase their talent. And we hope the new BBC Disability Executive will progress even further so that seeing disabled people on TV in such roles. Why this brings up is because of the fact that most people who play disabled characters
are not disabled.
Eddie Redmayne, for example. You know, Eddie Redmayne definitely taking the piss out of disability when you're an able-bodied person. Never mind an able-bodied person with a disability, which counts. But you must be disabled.
There's so many people that look up to people and go, especially on TV, kind of makes it a bit of a challenge.
It makes it a bit of a challenge for casting agents, yes. But we are out there. We are very few, though. Very few. Small. Just like the label says. But they're right. Disability must be portrayed honestly. Matt Frazier, who is in American Horror Show, Preacher, actually. You know, they got disabilities after. Yeah, American Horror Show.
Story.
What?
American Horror Story.
Preacher. Yeah, American Horror Story, Preacher. It's always so brilliant when we see them, right? Oh, yeah, it's brilliant that you're doing the great thing of, you know, trying to basically act all what we would say crimping up or disabilitying up. When trying to actually, you know, actually have disability performers such as ourselves or people like this cat, this car, in TV, yeah, especially especially in the US.
Yeah.
You know, how do you, you know, yes, they're largely invisible, but if they only searched,
they only knew,
searched, and they only knew, you know, if they only knew what if they only knew what they were up against,
right, that would be a totally different thing, story entirely.
Yeah, it would be a totally different story entirely. However, you know, they say, oh, we can't hire you because of the union labor laws. Well, let's just say, you know, well, the labor laws, that doesn't make sense.
Right.
You know, it doesn't make sense. Because of the fact that you're in a different country does not mean that in the United States, where everybody's supposed to be equal, you know, you don't get a chance to do what you want to do.
That's not the case.
No. I mean, Kevin Hale is an able-bodied actor playing a disabled part.
Mm-hmm.
He was in Glee. Yet on the same tree, you have Lauren Potter, who actually has a disability and is playing a disabled character. Good on them. You know what I mean? It doesn't make sense. You know? It doesn't make a lot of sense to basically discount everybody who's a disability, who's you know, who is that? It's it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. Besides, how many other people do we know? And I guess what we'll do is save these for tomorrow night, since we have to go. I didn't realize the time. I guess. But, I mean, Allison, what do you think? What do you think?
I feel that there has to be more of us. There has to be more to be done to benefit people with disabilities.
Right. I mean, being largely you know, excluded.
More people should be aware of what actually goes on.
Yeah.
It's not a pretty thing.
No, it's not. But they want to yeah, I mean, technology will save everything.
No. It's called...
It saves us or doom us all.
What?
It may save us or doom us all, but you know.
Right.
Yeah, I mean... Save us or doom us all, okay, I understand.
And that sounds like a 1984 reference.
But it sounds so horrible.
But it's so true.
But so true.
But you shouldn't deny those people that are out there either.
No, you shouldn't. At all.
Because once you do, guess what? It doesn't bode well. It's the thing that causes a lot of people to feel utter like, there's nothing much there. Like, people feeling so, feeling bad because they're different. That shouldn't be the case.
No. I mean, because if we were all born people, and with 5 minutes left, I'll just start speaking really fast. But if we were all born with normally, you wouldn't have anything to write about. We wouldn't be hosting this show.
Yeah.
At all. There wouldn't be AMC Press. There wouldn't be Out Podcast. There wouldn't be other shows that are on the mainstream of this show. There wouldn't.
Nope.
Not at all. But, I guess, you know, that comes with us actually saying goodnight for now. But we'll pick up this tomorrow, because we have a show tomorrow as well. At the same time.
Yeah.
Same place.
We'll be back.
We'll be back.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, goodnight for now.
Yes.
Goodnight.
Right.
Good night.